again, to be able to stand here and share God's word. Always been my greatest pleasure to be able to preach on the scripture passages. And the passage that we have today is a very, very meaningful passage to me. It's really my favorite passage of scripture from all of scripture. And I thank you, maybe, for giving that introduction, because I'm not necessarily going to be expounding this passage, but I'm going to be referring to it in my sermon this morning. I want to speak about something that's more vital than resolutions. If you've made your New Year's resolutions, and if you're like most people, when they make their resolutions, you've probably broken a few. It seems like every new year, as we end an old year and come to a new year, we hear a lot about resolutions and people making resolutions, but we also hear about them breaking those resolutions. Resolutions are important. But I want to talk about something that's even more important, that's more vital than resolutions. I don't want to overlook the importance of resolutions. Doesn't necessarily, what I want to share this morning, necessarily to a new year, but something that applies to all of life. And that's what I want to emphasize this morning. Before I do, however, let's bow together in prayer. As we prepare ourselves. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is living and true. We thank you for the privilege we have not only having access to your word, but having that word, as it were, implied upon our hearts, guiding us daily in our living. And we pray that would be true as we leave this place today, that we would apply your word in a way that it would change the way in which we see life, the way in which we see you, the way in which we respond to those various ways in which you deal with us in life. So guide and direct us to that end. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm glad to see a good group of young people who are here this morning, because the things that I want to share with you apply most surely to our youth days of life. But it applies to all of us as well, because life is made up of new beginnings, and a new year gives us an opportunity to do that. It's in our youth, at the start of life, when many of our decisions regarding our lives are made, and that's why I want to speak specifically to young people who are here today. But if you're young at heart, you may listen in. And that's what we're supposed to be, aren't we? We're supposed to be young at heart, ready and able to start new things, to begin new adventures, and to give ourselves daily to our Lord Jesus Christ. So what I will share with you applies to all of us. And some of you who have heard me preach, and I preached here for many years, probably are going to recall some of these things that I've said in other messages. But I don't apologize for that, because when I want to talk to young people, if I had only one sermon to preach to them, it would be this one, because it's something that's near to my heart and near to what I believe God would want every young person, and every person for that matter, to hear and to respond to. They tell us that you have to hear something 7 times in order for it to begin to impact you. I read of a pastor who was a new pastor in the church. He preached the same sermon for 2 months. And finally, one of the congregation got up enough nerve to talk to him about it. Said, "Pastor, now, you've been here 2 months and you've preached the same sermon now. The pastor says, well, when you put that one into practice, I'll move on to the next one. The thing I want to talk about is not resolutions, but appointments. Did you ever stop to think that life is made up of all kinds of appointments? There are some appointments we look forward to with eagerness, like our birthdays, anniversaries, unless you get up there in years, and then you say, well, I wish you wouldn't have any more birthdays, but the only alternative to that is death. So we have to celebrate birthdays. And even at any age, we look forward to them. But there are some appointments that we dread, like going to a dentist. I don't know if any of you love to go to dentists, and I do. But even going to a dentist is an appointment, nonetheless. We have regular appointments of life that we sometimes take for granted. I read about a young man, a young boy who gave his girlfriend an exquisite gemstone, and she took it for granted. Not granted, but granted. Well, there are many times where we take things for granted. Meals, classes, work, church. And let's not forget that important audiovisual aid in almost every one of our lives, the alarm clock. It makes sure we get to some of our appointments, doesn't it? And we can't overlook the new one that we have now. Cell phone, smartphone. We make good use of those things today, too. Life is full of all kinds of appointments, things we take for granted as well as those are vital to a meaningful life. And how you meet those appointments is the thing that I want us to emphasize today. How you meet those appointments will determine the style and quality of your living. So this morning I just want to point out three appointments that you're going to meet or already meeting in your life. First of all, each of us has an appointment with life itself. Now you say, Pastor, that's silly. Of course I have an appointment with life. I'm a human being, aren't I? But it's strange sometimes how people, even young people, do not give any really serious thought to their life and how they're living. They just kind of float along, hoping that things will work out for their best, and they'll get some meaning and some fullness in life. You'd be surprised at the number of people who have trouble with that. That's why I think we have so much suicide, even among young people, in our society today. Now let's be serious about this. You may not be able to determine who or what circumstances or situations come into your life, but you will be able to determine how you will react and how you will respond to those situations. Someone has said your true character is revealed not in the good times of your life, but rather in the tough times, the difficult moments. It's then when one's true character is revealed. Or as someone else has said, one's true character is revealed when nobody is looking. You're only as good or as bad as what you do when no one knows. It's in these appointments with life that some of your most important decisions are made. Your life's vocation, your work, your marriage partner. You know, it's interesting to think that if the statistics are right and correct, most of you young people who are here this morning, in 3 or 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, You'll be married. And that's a scary thing in one way, particularly to your parents. But it's also an exciting thing to think of your marriage partner. You, young person, you will need the guidance in making this selection of your parents, perhaps of your pastor, perhaps of a teacher or a counselor, perhaps a good friend, or maybe a married couple that you admire. But most of all, you need the guidance of God and His Word. I've seen too many young people think that they can make a decision like a marriage on their own. And they end up with second or even third best choice for them. Even the college or the school or vacation that you plan to involve yourself in is an important decision, an important appointment. I remember reading of a young man who was looking for a summer job, part-time job. He didn't know what he could find, so he went up and down the street in the business district of his small town, talking to the proprietor, asking if he could have a part-time position. And finally he came to a hardware store, and the hardware man said, "Well, I do need somebody to kind of clean things up here and sweep the floor every day. If you'd like to do that, that'd be fine." And he took the job. What do you think he is? He's manager of a hardware store. Your part-time job is an important decision, an important appointment. Even your college is an important choice. Someone has said a Christian college is like a shoe factory. You take them in as heels, repair their soles, send them out in pairs. You have an appointment with life, young person. All of us have an appointment with life. It's important that we make the right decisions. The second thing I want to talk about is an appointment that you have with yourself. Now, you may not think that's very serious, very important, but the way in which you meet this appointment will have much to say how you meet the appointment with life. The appointment with yourself, who you are. Many people, even young people, I mean, are trying to break their appointment with life. They don't like themselves. They don't like their looks. They don't like their brains. They don't like their emotions. They don't like their parents. They don't like their situation in life. They're just dissatisfied with who they are. They want to be someone else. You have an appointment with yourself, young person. Eric Erickson, a social psychologist. By the way, I was a psychology major in college. But Eric Erickson has said that the teenage years and the early adulthood years are the most crucial years in the life of a person, because it's in those years that we enter into a crisis, and he called this identity crisis. You've heard that word, an identity crisis. Well, to me, that's just a fancy name for the old biblical questions of who am I? Why am I here? What should I do? Where should I go? What will happen to me? Very important biblical questions in this identity crisis situation in our lives. I think of the psalmist who replied, "I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Let me remind you something. You are created in God's image. You are special in His eyes. You are unique. There's only one of you, and no one can replace you. You are needed to be who you are. God doesn't want you to be anyone else than who you are. You have an appointment with yourself to discover through His eyes, through His word, through His association with you, who you are and why you are here. Sometimes we preachers, Christian leaders, give people the wrong idea about all of this. We want everybody to be the same. We're not all the same. You think of the gospel as kind of a sort of a spiritual cookie cutter, and we form everybody, mold everybody into the same image, the same persons in Christ. But we're not. We're different, unique persons in Him. And someone says, well, you can't just cookie cut people into being who you want them to be, because some people are a lot more moldier than others. And sometimes when you're trying to discover who you are, who you're supposed to be, mother says this, dad says this, your pastor says this, your teacher says this, your best friend says this, and then they conclude by saying, now here, just be yourself. And you want to respond by saying, well, which one of the 16 cells that you're saying I am should I be? Rather confusing, isn't it? Well, that brings us to the third and final point, because this is the answer to finding out what those appointments with you and your life are all about. It's a secret appointment to finding your true self, to finding meaning in your life. Because this is the most important assignment, the most important appointment that you will ever encounter. You have an appointment with God, who has come to us through Jesus Christ. This is one appointment you can't run from, like Jonah. You can try to run from life, and you can try to run from yourself, but you can't run from God. You can try to run from God in this life, but you'll only end up meeting Him in the next. And as Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. That's why this is such an important appointment. Your whole life, the whole of eternity, is dependent upon how you respond to this appointment with God through Christ. That's where we come to our scripture passage, which Linda read for us from Colossians chapter 2, and as I mentioned, it's my favorite passage in all the scripture. May your spiritual experience, she read it from a different translation, may your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that you will find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For your own, listen to this, for your own completeness is only realized in Him. You know, my favorite verses I had quoted, Lindy read them in verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in your faith, even as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Isn't that an amazing passage? Aren't those amazing verses? That's what this encounter, this appointment with God, is all about. I settled my appointment with Christ in my home church in North Dakota when I was 11 years old, as I knelt in the floor in the front pew after an evangelist had given the invitation to receive Christ. And I confessed my sins to him and received him as my Savior. I settled my appointment with Christ as Lord in a catcher's box at a major league tryout when I was 17 years old. And I was chosen at that tryout by the head scout of the Los Angeles Dodgers to be, as he said, when he sent the other 13 plus catchers, and he said, "You can go home. I have found my next catcher." The only problem with that was that God had a different answer and a different need for me. God also said, "I have found my next catcher." And as Mike so eloquently told me one day, he said, "God didn't want you to catch baseballs. God wanted you to catch souls." Those were my appointments with God. And it was just after that that I met, well, where's she sitting? And she has sat in congregation after congregation hearing me preach in support of me. And we didn't have Rose Preacher at home after my messages. Been my greatest supporter, but I met her. I said to God, when I realized he was calling me into the ministry, I said to God, I said, "God, if you're going to call me to be a pastor, I need a wife." And it was interesting to me. I said, "Who is she?" And he says, "I've got someone reserved for you. And you'll know when you see her." One day after church, with a group of seminarians in the seminary dining hall, I entered that hall, saw this gal at the water fountain, having a drink. I looked at her, first time I've ever seen her. She did not know me, I did not know her. And it was a voice within me said, "That's her. That's the point." We've been married for 56 years, have ministered in fellowship with Christ all those years, and we hope to for many, many more, God willing. One of my favorite human life stories I want to close with. I've used this before, but I want to share it again because it fits here. It's a story that took place on a busy bus full of commuters, businessmen, as they were on their way home from work. And as was the custom, as they traveled down the streets heading for home, went past a newspaper shop, a young boy would get on board to peddle off his newspapers. 10 cents a copy. You know, that was a few years back. He'd go down the rows of that bus selling his newspapers, 10 cents a copy. And as he got down about halfway down, the businessman said, "Hey, son, we're going to do things a little bit differently today." He pulled out a quarter from his pocket and he says, "I'm going to flip this quarter in the air. If it turns out heads, I win, and you give me the newspaper free. If it turns out tails, you win, and I'll give you this quarter." The boy said, "No, no, thank you." He says, "Okay, let's make it 50 cents. 50 cents if you win." "No." "Well, let's make it 75 cents. 75 cents if you win, it's all yours." No. He pulled out his billfold, took out a dollar bill. He said, "Son, I have to get off here in a couple lots. This is my last offer. Take it or leave it. I'm going to flip the coin. If it turns out heads, I win. I get the newspaper free. If it turns up tails, you win, and you get the dollar." By this time, the whole bus was in on this drama that was taking place. Even the bus driver was looking through the rearview mirror watching this drama. The boy thought for a while, boy, what would a dollar mean to him? He was a young boy, 10 years old, poor, you could see by the clothing, shabby clothes he was wearing. It was a poor family. They depended upon even those 10-cent newspapers to help them to meet the daily demands of life. What that would mean to him, huh? A whole dollar, 90 cents pure profit. He thought for a while, finally says, "I'm sorry, mister, but I can't afford to lose." That's what I'm saying to you young people this morning. That's what I'm saying to all of us. When it comes to your appointment with God, you can't afford to lose. What shall it profit a man if he gains his whole world, loses his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Can't afford to lose. If you had more than one life, I'd say, love a couple. Doesn't make any difference. Who cares? You can always learn from experience. But you only got one life. Only one life. Only one chance. To make the difference between how you live this life and how you will exist in eternity. With Christ or apart from him. That's why I say this is the most important appointment in all of life. Choose Christ. We're going to sing in closing a hymn, "Only One Life to Offer." Jesus, my Lord and King. We're going to sing two stanzas, the first and the last, and I think they're going to be posted up on top. I'm going to suggest one thing as we sing. Don't sing if you don't mean it. This is important, even singing a hymn. Only one life to offer. Use it as an opportunity. You've already made a decision for Christ. Great. Continue in that, even as 2 Corinthians 2, Colossians 2. It says, so then, just as you have received Christ, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in the faith, just as you were taught. If you haven't received him, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. It's an important decision. It's an important appointment. You can talk to me here afterwards. I'd love to pray with you regarding any decision that you're making in your life, even if it's initially receiving Christ, or there's some decision regarding something else that you're dealing with. I'll stay here. Or you can call me on my phone. It's in the directory. Be happy to talk with you. Pray with you.